Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed upon the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he knows not how. The earth produces of itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Back in the year 2005, I made my first trip to a foreign country. I traveled from the United States of America, and I went to Rome, Italy. It was my first trip out of my home country of the United States of America, and if you've ever been on that first trip out of your own country, there's a kind of anxiety you have about that trip. You're kind of not sure exactly what you're getting into. You don't really know how you're going to fit into this different society and different culture. And you're leaving your sort of comfort zone to go to this other nation. And to complicate the matter, the people who were going to meet me in Italy, I didn't really know them. To me, they were kind of like a little bit like strangers to me. And I was told that when I got to the airport in Rome, that I would see a priest dressed in a gray habit, and he would have a big sign that says, "Father Jason Worthley," and he would pick me up and bring me to the place I wanted to go to. And I got to the airport, and I didn't see a priest anywhere. In fact, I was walking along, and I saw this shady-looking character, kind of a rough-looking guy, carrying a little piece of cardboard that said Jason. No father, no last name, and I was like, it can't be that guy. I'm not going with that guy. And then I was thinking, I'm in trouble. You know, I'm here in a foreign nation and there's no one here to pick me up. And I thought maybe the people I spoke to weren't the people that I was supposed to be speaking to, and they don't even know I'm here in Rome and I'm totally here all alone. I made the trip all by myself too. So I was walking through the airport and I went up to a payphone and I said, well, maybe I'll make a phone call here. And of course, I looked at the phone and I did not know how to use it, and the instructions were in Italian, which I didn't quite understand at the time. And I was kind of feeling a sense of panic. But finally, I went around the corner and I saw a priest in a gray habit, a gray robe, and he had the big sign that said, "Father Jason Worthley." And he picked me up in the car and took me to my place of where I was going to stay. But you know, being my first trip to another country, I had to get a passport from the United States government. First time ever having a passport. And that passport would identify me as a citizen of the United States of America. And I carried that with me the whole time I was in Italy. And that little tiny piece of paper, which if you just look at it, seems like nothing, not any value to it. It's just a little paper booklet. But it had such a profound meaning to it. That tiny piece of paper had an effect on me when I was in this foreign country. One of the things it did, and I didn't expect this, but having that passport with me the whole length of the journey made me feel proud to be an American. It really did. It made me feel proud to be a citizen of the United States of America. And it made me feel that this country is truly great. And I know that many people have, you know, disagreeing arguments and battles about, you know, what government is doing at any time in the history of this country up until our present day. But the fundamental aspect of our country is great. When I was in this foreign nation, I was thinking about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I was like, wow, that's a really awesome set of documents that helped to form this nation that I feel is great. That tiny piece of paper, the passport, made me feel really proud of my country, even if I disagreed with what some government officials were doing at the time. You know, there's that saying, "I love my country, but I hate my government." Well, when I was in a foreign country, it made me really love my country and see the gratitude I should have for being a member of this nation. Do you know being proud of one's home nation is a good thing. It's a good thing. The only bad thing is when you try to dominate other nations. But a healthy pride of one's own nation, of loving one's country, is a really good thing. And I felt that as I carried this passport to a foreign country. But the other thing that that passport did for me is it made me feel that I need to represent my nation well when I'm in another country. You see, there's a temptation when you travel away from home. It really doesn't matter how long the journey is, but there's a temptation to forget your identity. There's a temptation to think that you can live in a lawless manner, that you can do anything you want and get away with everything you can try to get away with and cause all kinds of trouble for yourself and for others. And you got to watch out for that. But when I had that passport and I read it, and I read it what it said about me and what my government was requesting of other nations, I said, you know, I have to represent my country well. And people should do that when they travel to other countries. For whatever reason you travel there, you want to have people experience the goodness of our nation. You want people to, after they've seen you, to feel or to believe that America is a good country. That tiny piece of paper had those two effects on me. I'm proud to be an American, and I have to represent my nation very well when I'm with foreigners. Well, in the Bible passage from the Gospel, when Jesus preaches, he talks about building up a kingdom which is bigger than a nation, which could include many nations, and he calls this the kingdom of God, which is a kingdom that is bigger than the whole world, than the whole universe. It's an eternal kingdom filled with the power of creation and salvation. And Jesus did not seem to be the person to build the kingdom. If you look at his life, he was born homeless in a poor family. He had to rush into another country because King Herod was trying to kill his whole family, because King Herod was threatened by the Christ child. And as he gets older, at some point Saint Joseph passes away, and then when he preaches, he gets all manner of opposition. It doesn't seem like Jesus would have amounted to anything and been able to build up a kingdom or even a nation or anything at all. But right away he gets to work in his preaching. He's telling us he's building a kingdom of God, and he calls us to be part of it. He calls this kingdom in this parable kind of like a seed. He uses a seed analogy to explain the kingdom, something that seems so small and insignificant, but yet something that is tremendously valuable and powerful. It's kind of like that passport. That passport looks like nothing. It's just a small booklet. But those who understand what it means will realize that it's really powerful. It's really significant. Well, we have a much greater thing in the kingdom of God that Jesus builds for us, and he calls us to be members of it. At our baptism, we become members of God's kingdom. It's like at our baptism, we have a passport that has an imprint, a seal put on our soul that says not that we belong to a nation, but that we belong to God's kingdom. And this kingdom is from Jesus Christ. When I carried that passport in the other countries, it made me proud to be an American. Well, we have this passport on our soul. It's right there, and it guarantees us travel from time to eternity if we're faithful to our baptismal promises. And that kingdom is a kingdom of salvation from sin, from death, and from evil. It's a kingdom where we experience that God truly is with us, that he's with us in our life's journey and has a plan for us that's beautiful. It's a kingdom that enables us to always have hope, because it's a kingdom of eternal life. And it's a kingdom that helps us to experience our communion with the Trinity and our communion with those who love God also. We should be proud of this kingdom. We should be proud that we are members of this kingdom, brought into it by our baptism and our confirmation. And just as when we go to a foreign land, we should feel proud of our country, well, in a way, we're kind of like in a foreign land. Actually, Christ always seems to be a foreigner in this world, in the sense that his teaching is often rejected. Oftentimes, we're made to feel that the commandments of God are irrelevant, or they're something to be mocked or rejected. And we have to see the truth. The truth is, this kingdom is great, and the law of the Lord is good for us always. It's kind of like traveling in a foreign country with your American passport. You might meet people in another country who hate America. There are people who do. You might people who think America is irrelevant and they don't care about America. Then you might meet people who love America. Well, it's the same thing on a much more important and larger scale with God's kingdom. Some people hate the idea of following Christ. Some people think following Christ is irrelevant and they don't care about it. Others understand who Jesus is. And we have to be among those who understand who Jesus is. And when you do, when you realize that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he suffered, that he died, he rose from the dead, and he will come again in glory, then it helps you to become proud of the gospel. We should be proud of our Catholic religion. We should be proud of the teachings of Christ and his church. One time recently, I was meeting with a good friend of mine, and we're talking about spiritual things and other things going on in the church and in the world. And he made some questions about how various, you know, offices in the church make their decisions about various, you know, policies, about parishes, about assignments, about, you know, structures, about property and things like that. And I said, yeah, there's a lot of that. And we have to look through all that. And we have to see the goodness of God's kingdom. It's kind of like, you know, our country. Sometimes our government makes a lot of bad decisions. And some of those decisions have deadly consequences for many, many people. And sometimes our government makes really good decisions that helps to make life better for others and to help to bring peace in this world. But whatever the decisions are, whether good or bad, we have to focus on the goodness of our nation. It's the same as our membership in the church. Many times bad decisions can be made by people in various offices of the church, or decisions that might be good, but we don't agree with them. You know, decisions that involve a prudential judgment. Well, we can't let any of that distract us. We have to see reality, that our baptism has brought us into this great kingdom of God. We should be proud and very thankful that we're part of this great kingdom. And we should feel a responsibility to represent the kingdom of God well in our life's journey. There is that temptation when you travel to forget your identity and to think you can live in a lawless way. Well, think about this. When we come to baptism, when we come to the Eucharist, we come to a living contact with the very King of this kingdom, Jesus Christ, our Lord. But once we leave the church, it's like we're now traveling on a journey. We're traveling far away, and we have to not cave into that temptation to misrepresent God's kingdom. You know, people often think that only priests and bishops and religious and, you know, deacons and other people in, you know, preaching or teaching positions in the church are the ones who represent God's kingdom in this earth. But you know who do it the most is laity, ordinary men and women and children in the church, because they vastly outnumber exponentially the number of priests and bishops and religious in the church. The laity, lay people have a tremendous responsibility to represent the kingdom of God well in this world. When you're inside a church, you feel a responsibility to behave well or to make sure you avoid bad behaviors. You don't tell lies in the church to people. You don't bully people in the church. You don't lash out in anger at people in the church or belittle people in the church. You don't do anything inappropriate in the church. You feel a sense of responsibility while you're in the church. But then once you leave, you still have to have that responsibility. It's like carrying that passport. You look at it and says, boy, this thing says I'm a citizen of this country. I got to be faithful to that country. I got to live well. Well, we have this passport on our soul. We carry it with us all the time of our baptism. And it calls us to represent God's kingdom well. We have to, because one of the things that makes people not want to go to church at all is hypocrisy. When they see or hear of hypocrisy in the church, it drives them away. Hypocrisy among the priests or other leaders in the church, hypocrisy among the laity. You know, you'll have people who, you'll say, why don't you go to church? And they say, well, you know, I know this guy who goes to church every Sunday, and he looks holy in the church, he goes to communion, but I know him, and he's horrible to people. He belittles people, he lashes out in anger at people, he snaps at people all the time and makes them feel terrible. I don't want to be like that. I want nothing to do with that, so I'm not going to church. Or I know this other person who goes to church and tells people, boy, you got to go to church. But I work with the person, and they lie all the time. They're liars. It's like everything they say is a lie. I want nothing to do with that religion. I'm staying away. Sorry, not for me. Well, you see, hypocrisy, when we're not living our responsibility to represent God's kingdom well, really wounds people tremendously. We got to watch out for it. We have got to be faithful to Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, we have this tiny little passport on our soul. Like the seed that Jesus uses in the parable seems like nothing. Seems like something that can be seen as irrelevant or even mocked. But it's great. It's our inheritance in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we must focus on its goodness, because Jesus Christ is the one who is all good. May we be not ashamed of the gospel, but proud of it. Even if in the world the teachings of Christ are either mocked or seen as irrelevant, we want to see his word for what it truly is. The word that alone gives us everlasting life, that gives us life to the full when we are faithful to him, that gives us peace. May we be proud of the gospel, and may we feel always and everywhere this urgent responsibility to represent the kingdom of God well. God bless you.